In today's gospel, there is a very profound lesson for each and every member of the mystical body, especially in our nation as we prepare for the elections. For the Church teaches us that it's a grave responsibility for a Catholic to exercise his right to vote, but that he must exercise that right in accord with his faith. And often when we go to the polls to cast our vote, we do not have that which is most important in mind, but rather we have the economic stability of ourselves and our nation in mind. But indeed, no nation can remain stable unless, first and foremost, it understands the nature and the dignity of the sacrament of matrimony. The Pharisees and the scribes tried to trap our Lord, and they say that Moses commanded marriage, but Moses didn't command that. Moses commanded that a bill of divorce be issued. Moses gave no such command, as the Lord would point out to them. He merely permitted. He permitted for the greater good when hatred had become so part of a marriage that one could fear a man would take the very life of his wife. And so Moses permitted it out of the hardness of their heart. But as the Lord points out, it was not so from the beginning, that is, when Adam and Eve were brought forth into this world. For perhaps one of the reasons we don't often cast our vote in accord with our faith is because we try to determine when did the assault on marriage begin. Some will say the sexual revolution of the 60s and the 70s, the French Revolution, and all other means. But the assault on marriage began at the very beginning, for Satan knew that if he could bring down marriage, he could bring down society and ultimately destroy in the hearts of man the love of God. And so we have a great responsibility, and let us take this responsibility to heart in our nation at this most crucial time. For it is not merely a crucial time in the history of the world for our nation, but for all nations. And if the dignity of the sacrament of matrimony is not defended by the members of the mystical body, then there is really no hope for our society or any society to survive. Indeed, the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches that a nation that permits the abortion of its children is a nation doomed to extinction. And so we have much to fear. But if we defend our faith, our Lord will reward us. For we know full well that in the supernatural order, it is not measured necessarily by the numbers, but rather by the sacrifice made. And so, if just a small number of Catholics resolve themselves to defend marriage and its dignity, then that defense will grow and enter into the hearts of other Americans, and ultimately something will be set forth across this nation that could literally save this nation from extinction. And so we must be firmly resolved to understand that which is most important. Indeed, when St. Bonaventure lists the sacraments, he puts matrimony in what we would call last place, but he doesn't mean it in that sense. He means it in a humble sense, that it is the humblest of the sacraments, for it is the sacrament by which all things flow. If a Catholic man and woman are united in matrimony and they do that which God has ordained for married couples to do, they provide priests for the church, they provide bishops for the church, they provide the Pope for the church, they provide good citizens for the nations, those who truly have the virtue of patriotism, because they are willing to stand up even when its nation is doing that which is wrong in the eyes of God. It loves, that citizen loves its nation so much, he is willing to stand up and try to speak out and to defend rather the rights, not the rights of man, but rather the rights of God. And most especially in a Catholic marriage, when it is lived out in according to the will of God, the love of the Sacred Heart reigns in that home, and so there is a great desire to see that love spread through all of society. If our nation continues its assault on matrimony through the abortion of the fruit of what is supposed to be the fruit of matrimony through an attempt to blasphemously try to redefine that which God alone can define, then we really have no hope of turning around that which is afflicting both our nation and the world. That can only be done if we again begin to uphold the rights of God over a nation, and most especially that right by which he desires to rule over every nation and over every society by his love. That love manifested on Mount Calvary, and indeed that love that has purchased for us the grace to live in according to the teachings of the church in regards to the sacrament of matrimony. For one of the reasons why Moses had to permit divorce was because the age of grace had not been fully established. But our Lord here is drawing the line. When he says it was not so from the beginning, he further will elaborate that neither shall it be, for things shall return to that which was from the beginning. That is, because after his crucifixion and death, he provides the grace for all men and for all women to persevere in that bond of love in the holy sacrament of matrimony until, as is said, until death do they part. And so let us strive as we approach a crucial time in the history of this nation and in the history of this world. Let us strive to go and exercise that power which we have to cast our vote in this nation, not in accord to the thickness of our wallet, but rather to the generosity of our heart. That is, that we are willing to make the sacrifice by which we truly give the effort to see who are those running for office who will defend this great sacrament and ultimately defend the rights of God, those rights that he has won by conquest on Mount Calvary, that is, the right to rule over every nation by his love. For he and he alone can bring a society to its fulfillment. He and he alone can bring it to that which God has ordained society to be. And so it must be a great defender of this sacrament and, as the church teaches, the indissolubility of marriage, so that we can truly get our society again on a sane footing. That is, a footing that holds up the rights of the married couple rather than our rights to go about eating, drinking, and be marrying, for we think tomorrow we die. And indeed, someday we will, but we will be judged in accord to how we have lived our lives in this world according to the teachings of Almighty God. And so let us not be found wanting in our defense of this great sacrament that was understood so well by the mother of Pope St. Pius X. For when he came to his mother with his bishop's ring, he had a little sense of pride that he had become a bishop, not in the sense of a sinful, but just a little bit of an indeliberate venial fault. When his mother detected it, he told her son Giuseppe, "Wait here for a moment." She went and got the wedding ring, and she said to her son, "Giuseppe, remember always, without this ring, you would not have your ring." And Pope St. Pius X laughed at his mother and acknowledged her for her correction and thanked her for it. And so he became that great defender of the sacrament of matrimony at a crucial time in history. And so let us especially turn to the Holy Father and his teachings on the sacrament of matrimony, in which the church has been truly blessed in our day, in our age, so that we truly understand how great a sacrament it is and how crucial it is for every member of the mystical body to defend it with that which is most important to us. We must be willing to defend the sacrament of matrimony, by the price of our own blood. That is, we must be willing to die rather than to compromise in any way this sacrament, and that is done so often during election time by so many who profess themselves to be members of the mystical body. Let us have none of it, but let us truly strive to again get our nation on sound footing, because it is a nation that defends the rights of the family, and ultimately it must defend the rights of the family that is the root and the cause of all true family life, that is, the Holy Family at Nazareth, where we embrace Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as the model and exemplar of all true married life and how each and every home of a nation should be. For their love of God reigns, and so that society truly is a good, just, and sane society. It may not be affluent, but it may not be affluent, but affluence is really, in the end, a punishment rather than a blessing, for no nation that has had this form of affluence has ultimately survived the test of history. It is only where the Holy Family, where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are held as the model and exemplar of all true life, that a nation has any hope of surviving. And so, let us pray for our nation, let us pray for our politicians, let us pray for each and every member of the mystical body, that they cast their vote in accord with their faith and in defense of this holy sacrament, so that ultimately we may see all united in that kingdom that cannot be taken from anyone, so that if we forge the society that our Lord truly intends, then we help to establish that which is so lacking, the virtue of charity that is present in society, so that we have that form of a society in which many souls who would lose their souls otherwise are able to save them, because charity truly reigns not merely on an individual level but on a societal level, so that each and everyone is truly striving for the salvation of his neighbor and his brother, because they ultimately see that what really constitutes the dignity of the human person is to be with God for all eternity in heaven.
Christus.